What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the All Out Blitz podcast with Jeff
and Brady.
And we are here on draft day.
Yeah.
We already got our annual viewing of draft day in this morning.
Yep.
Bright and early. That's part of our fun yearly ritual.
Yep.
You gotta watch draft day on draft day. There's really no other day like it. Do you think we should? I mean, I know we talked about it earlier. They should definitely make another one.
They should, absolutely.
I don't know what team they should focus on. Well, like I mean, the Browns were interesting because when that movie was made, they were awful.
Yeah, what else is new? I was saying to you, they should just have it be based back in 2014 again, except just choose like three different teams this time.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. It'd be really fun.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we got draft day going. No major news yet. However, I know when we were on the last episode, we talked about who we think, or to have an idea, right, of who we think could be a big trade, or you mentioned it the other day to me. I can't remember.
I mentioned it this morning.
Was that this morning?
That was who you think's going to be the big trade.
Apparently it's going to be a long day. That's fine. I don't mind. It's draft day. It could take as long as it wants. You have any thoughts?
I don't know if there's any ones that could really surprise a lot of people that haven't already been brought up in the media.
Yeah.
Because, like, last year, I don't know A.J. Brown's name was floating around at all.
I don't think it was at all.
That's what I mean.
And that just happened.
And then it was like, boom, we got traded to Philly.
So, okay, so if you don't think of players, right, what team do you think will maybe send a superstar somewhere else tonight to make a move? Any thoughts? I have one, and particularly a player, and I'm not going to say he's a massive super. He's a very underrated star. So I think the Seahawks could potentially trade someone. If I had to guess, it would be Tyler Lockett.
I don't know. I think
they still have Metcalf.
I have a hot take. I think it's very possible they trade DK before they trade Tyler.
That would be interesting. But I think between Tyler, DK, and Jackson Smith and Jigba, they're not gonna keep all three. They don't need all three.
Yeah, but they might want all three though.
Oh, it's true. But who do they got as running back right now? I can't even remember. Kenny Walker. So do they make a move for a quarterback?
That's what I was going to go with. I'd say they're probably going to go
because you haven't been hearing Seattle as a part of the QB talk trade or talk track.
No.
So can they leverage one of those guys and their 16th pick to move up and grab a QB of the future?
I'd say it's possible.
I definitely think it's possible. It's just something you haven't been hearing of. But I mentioned Lockett because he's extremely underrated. It depends, how much the new coaching staff really cares for DK and his attitude. But I don't hate that either, honestly.
Yeah.
I do. I think the Seahawks are a team to watch tonight, though. I think there are some other teams, too, like, the Saints have to do something. Yeah. I don't know if 14's going to do it for them to really make an impact. Rookie head coaches tend to, at least as of late, tend to try to make splashes.
Yeah.
So are the Raiders at 13 going to do something fun?
No.
I don't know, dude. Antonio Pierce, man, he's got the guts to go do something. And they need a QB of the future.
They do, yeah.
So that's another one. It's and the more you kind of mull over these draft picks. Those QBs that everybody thought would fall in the second round, are they going to make it out of the top 15?
Man, I don't know.
Because you look at the Bears, you look at Washington, you look at the Patriots, you look at the Giants, you look at Minnesota, you look at Denver, you look at the Raiders. You look at the Seahawks, like that's already more teams than what solid, potential solid QBs are out there in this draft. Yeah. Now, the Seahawks, you could say, well, they can roll, right, for another year and see what happens. Those other teams, I don't think can.
No, definitely not.
I really don't think they can. So I don't. It's. I think it's going to be a fun night, dude. Every year, I think we talk about, oh, there's going to be a lot of trades this year, and it never happens. There's like one or two. There's some legit contenders right now.
Definitely.
I think everybody with how much these guys are getting paid and how much cap space keeps going up every year, they know they need a couple rookie studs to go and make an impact that season. And everybody wants to win now.
Yeah.
No one anymore builds for the future.
No. Back on the topic of what we were saying earlier is like the big superstars we can get traded.
Yeah.
All around Twitter, I guarantee you've seen the whole rumor train that's been started about Jay Herb might be going.
Yeah.
And I think the main thing I've seen is Justin Herbert and the 5th overall pick goes to Minnesota for Justin Jefferson and one of their first round picks.
Okay.
Or something like that.
And the Vikings right now have 11 and 23.
I bet it might have been 11, I think, is what it might have been. They just do, like, a superstar swap or something.
Yep.
If I really sit down and think, and then with that 11th pick, the Chargers would take J.J. McCarthy.
If he's there.
I think he
should. He would have to be there to make it happen.
I think he would be.
I don't know. I mean, so, well, we'll get into that. We'll talk through the first round here and what that's going to look like. But let's just say, I don't know, dude. I don't think Harbaugh took the Chargers job to say, I'm going to go draft my college QB.
Yeah.
Because Harbaugh could have had his pick at any team that was looking for a head coach, and there were plenty.
Oh, yeah.
If I were a new head coach, I would go in somewhere knowing that at least the QB spot is good, and now I just got to build around him. And honestly, that was the only spot that actually had one.
It actually had a guarantee on it.
Yes, that had a great QB that, you know, it works for what they're going to do.
Yeah.
I still see the Chargers going offensive line. I just do.
Yeah, I know. I think the main thing, I think more than likely, I think we're going to go Joe Alt, which as the days pass, I grow more okay with it.
Yeah.
But I'm still hopeful that we take a receiver.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, right, you're gonna have your pick at 5.
Yeah.
Who you want.
That's
because the top three are going to be QBs, whether all those teams stay in their spots or someone is trading up for a QB then. Maybe to New England, maybe to Arizona at 4. But the QBs are going.
Yeah.
You will have your pick at wide receivers. I don't know. Does Herbie want somebody to throw to or somebody to protect him more? I think, like, again, it's a much deeper wide receiver class probably than what we've seen in the last couple years.
Yeah.
You can get one later.
You can, but do you risk getting a good to decent one later, or do you get like a really great one now?
True. But if you can get, let's play devil's advocate here. You get a stud offensive tackle to pair with Slater to protect Herb. And then second round, you grab, you know, let's say Ladd McConkey's there. Or let's say A.D. Mitchell drops into the early second round. Those are first round contenders right there.
They are, definitely.
You're getting solid. I mean, you're not getting Rome. You're not getting.
That's it. But do you want to pass up on Malik or Rome or possibly
Harrison?
Harrison.
I don't know.
Speaking of which, I've seen multiple things over these past few weeks that it's possible the Colts are going to trade up to draft him.
I know. That would be hilarious.
Or maybe not even like draft him, but just like a receiver in general, which for them would be absolutely great.
Well, yeah, Richardson needs somebody.
Aside from just MPJ.
Hopefully he's getting healthy now. Did you see, this was only released about an hour ago, Schrager's latest final mock draft?
No.
So he doesn't have Joe Alt now going to 11 with Tennessee. But he still has the Chargers taking an offensive tackle, J.C. Latham, at 5. So now he has Latham jumping Alt. I have no clue where, when, or why. I don't know enough about their technique and about what they do, like those guys specifically, but...
Like, with that, I'm thinking back to Rashawn Slater's draft, whenever we took Rashawn Slater and the Lions took Penei Sewell, where everyone's like...
They could flip-flop.
It was that, or it was either like, oh, they should have took Penei Sewell. Why didn't they do that? And they took Rashawn Slater instead. And then the first year, Penei Sewell was garbage, and Rashawn Slater was great. It could be one of those situations, again, where it's like Joe Alt's going to be this already Hall of Fame lock stud.
Yeah.
And then J.C. Latham's just like, oh, he's just kind of going to be there. He's not going to be that great. And then they turn out to be, like, the exact same player, just on different teams.
So the other funny thing, right, like, because I think about Atlanta, all right, taking another tackle. You know, Jake Matthews is getting up there. He's been around for over a decade now. The other tackle's Caleb McGarry. Not going to work. Long term. I don't think, anyway. So you have an older guy that you're gonna have to replace soon. Do you want a guy like Jake Matthews to be able to train him? All right, I'm a big fan of doing that kind of stuff. You know, if you have a crazy solid vet to come in and train him
as like a mentor,
exactly. But did you see the contract Penei Sewell just got?
I saw the other day. It might have been the same day, or it was like the day before, I think he got like a massive deal with Monroe St. Brown.
Yeah. They got them both locked up.
Yeah.
Let me try to look it up here real quick. But it's ridiculous. Like that contract extension for Penei Sewell.
Remember, I kind of forget what like a Monroe's was, but it was like 5 years, 140 to like 170 or something like that. Like, golly, man, you're going to see, like, every single year, just let a month go by. Ooh, highest paid receiver.
That's all it ever is, dude. So, Penei Sewell, 4-year deal, $112 million.
Jeez.
Rashawn Slater hasn't gotten his extension yet.
Yeah.
They're going to have to pay him.
Definitely. And he's worth it, too.
Well, absolutely. I think he's worth every penny. But you got to pay that guy now.
Yeah.
Who's your other tackle right now?
Trey Pipkins.
Yeah.
Well, he's not
awful.
He's not bad though.
No.
He's better than Storm Norton, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, thank you. So is my left shoe. Sorry.
So is a TV monitor.
I don't know. I think it's tough. The only thing that, again, I truly feel that they're going to go offensive tackle at 5, and I don't mean to turn this into a Chargers and Falcons podcast, but
let's
like,
do it.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. I just don't know. Getting rid of Mike Will and Keenan.
That's what I'm saying.
You got to get somebody now.
We need to get somebody, and I don't even freaking care. Honestly, if that's what the plan is we're freaking trading Jay Herb for Justin Jefferson, getting J.J. McCarthy. Honestly, at that point, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
You want to know why? Because we're getting a QB that Harbaugh knows, and we're already getting arguably the greatest receiver in the game right now.
So here's the other thing. Herb's not going anywhere.
No, that's it. But I just want to stay for the record. I don't want him to leave whatsoever.
Because they would then beat out Denver for the largest cap hit.
That's it.
Ours, in the NFL,
ours would drop down to like 200 something, I think is what it was.
Yeah, but and then you'd still have to pay Herb more money than what like everybody else on your team makes, and he's not even there.
Yeah,
so he's not going anywhere. I think that puts that room in her bed, because that money is way too much.
Like Joe Judge for the next 2 to 5 years, still getting paid by the Giants. He's not even there.
Yeah, I don't know. They're you know, the Bears. The I almost said Redskins. the Commanders are they're lock at 1 and 2, I feel, for QBs. Me personally, I would take Jaden Daniels over Caleb Williams every day of the week. I've watched enough on both of them. I think Jaden Daniels is going to be a much better prospect.
I think we got our Bo Callahan of the NFL.
Caleb Williams.
Yep.
Yep.
So I said I was talking
I'm to calling. I think he's going to be a bust.
While we were watching draft day this morning, I said the one question they should have asked Caleb Williams at his pro day was, did your friends come to your birthday party?
Did he lie about the $100 in the back?
Did he lie about the $100? Did Justin Fields send it back?
Exactly. Give me this one. I win you a championship. And he's in Pittsburgh. Barely made out of his rookie contract. Bears are a mess.
You see, the Steelers declined that.
They did. They
declined his fifth-year option.
They did.
Because it was like 20, 25 mil or something like that.
Well, you got that, and you got Rusty.
Yeah.
Right? So, and I think Rusty might only be there for a year. We'll see what happens.
It'd be a good thing, though, honestly, for Justin Fields learning to Russell Wilson, because I think they're very similar football players.
Agree.
And, like, passing and running-wise, and, like, their styles are pretty very similar.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be really good for Justin Fields to learn under Russell Wilson for a year.
Yep.
And then have him step in whenever he needs to.
Yep, for sure. The Patriots at 3 are intriguing. They need a QB.
I could see them going receiver, though.
I could also see him trading out of 3.
Oh, that too.
For more draft picks. Gerard Mayo, first year after the Belichick era. Like, he needs players. Like, mad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All new coaching staff, new everything going on there in New England. I could see that happening. 4, you got Arizona. They're tricky. I think they're in a very similar state that the Chargers are.
It popped into my head when I was really thinking about it. And I said to myself, I'm like, what's the possibility of Kyler Murray gets traded to Minnesota?
Oh, jeez.
I thought about it, and I'm like, Minnesota gets their QB, and then...
Yeah, but what's Cardinals getting? Because they're not moving back
and trading him. Like, it's not a very logical trade, but I just thought it popped into my head.
Yeah.
It was like an idea, and then I started thinking about it, and I was like, it's not possible, but that would be something.
Yeah. I feel like they're very similar to the Chargers. Like, they should go wide receiver. But they can also, anybody can use a stud tackle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you, of course, have the Chargers at 5, the Giants at 6. They need everything as well. What is it? The Titans at 7 right now. You know, that's a prime spot for Minnesota to move up. You got Falcons at 8. I could definitely see them grabbing a defender. Defender, I think, is the absolute priority right now. It's just going to be so difficult to pass up those wide receivers. But again, with how deep that class is, if you want another one, go in the second round and get one.
Yeah.
Corner and D end are the two biggest needs of Atlanta right now, and they should really have their pick of just about anybody.
Yeah.
Then you got the Browns or the Bears at 9 again. I think they're going to do kind of like I know the Texans last year didn't take a receiver, but they're going to double up with some rookie studs.
Yeah, and I think
it's going to be all offense.
I think Bears go receiver on that one.
QB receiver come up together, you know. I think that's a perfect fit. You get the Jets. See, people are mocking Brock Bowers to go to the Jets. I'm like, that's so disappointing. I just feel bad for the guy already. And then you had Denver sitting at 12.
I think if nothing happens, that's the realistic spot for J.J. McCarthy.
I don't know. I hope not for J.J.'s sake.
Well,
it could be okay. Seriously, it's not the Saints. It's not the Saints thing. I mean, maybe a little bit is. I just don't like Sean Payton.
It's always the Saints thing.
I just think it's old school coaching, which maybe for JJ that would work because of Harbaugh being his coach in Michigan. I don't know.
Yeah.
But this is around this area, right after 10, is where I could see some of those other QBs coming, like Bo Nix, like Penix, where normally they'd be in the second round because people are going to go get them. Whether it's, you know, if the Vikings stick at 11 and they grab one, or Denver grabs one if they don't move up and do what they need to do, or the Raiders. Again, those three teams right there are super QB needy right now.
I was about to, I was reading something, and it says the current belief with Michael Penix Jr. is that he's gonna go before 13, which at 13 is the Raiders, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So it's possible, it's the expectations for Michael Penix Jr. to go to Vegas.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. I think it's gonna be a very surprising evening, and we're gonna see some really good players fall. I hate to even say fall, because I don't think it's really a fall. It's just, I think it's very, very heavy with very good athletes this year.
From right now, you're going to hear it on the LL Blitz podcast first. From now on, we're no longer using the term fall. We're going to use the term Bo Callahan'd.
Bo Callahan'd.
These players are getting Bo Callahan'd right now. It's not good.
Oh, my gosh. Who else did that years ago? Oh, it was Brady Quinn. Everybody thought he was going to go to the Browns with their first pick that year.
Yeah.
And he ended up dropping to, the second round with their pick or something like that? It was awful to watch. Oh, my gosh, it was painful.
Yeah.
Is what it is. So here's an intriguing, you know, as we go down, you know, tonight's list of the first round picks, you got the Saints at 14, the Colts at 15, Eagles at 16. Sorry, did I read that right? No, Seahawks at 16, Jags at 17, Bengals at 18, Rams at 19, Steelers at 20.
Yeah.
Also,
real quick, just while we're at it, I've seen, just we'll come back to it then, but like Dolphins I've seen are a place for Xavier Worthy.
I think that would be a waste for them.
I don't know, though, man.
I the only reason I say that is I get it because of the...
Imagine him and Tyreek on the same team.
And Waddle, the track stars. I get that.
Tua would have a field day.
Yeah, I get that. But, they should already be able to have a field day with any team. And look at, the amount of defenders that the Dolphins got rid of or didn't re-sign in this offseason is astonishing.
Cornerback should be their number one get.
I don't know.
I think it should because
I think Ramsey is completely overrated, but he is still there.
But the thing but is,
with,
though,
with losing the edge rushers, like Phillips has to come back from injury, Chubb has to come back from injury. They got rid of Van Ginkle. They're losing. They lost so many guys.
That's D-line is also another big issue too.
And just as an example, Schrager's final draft today has him taking Chop Robinson from Penn State. That would be beautiful for them.
That would be good for them.
It's just, it's really weird.
Yeah.
Here's something fun to talk about. We all saw how the Lions were last year.
Yeah.
We all see what Aiden Hutchinson's doing. Phenomenal. You know, yep. That prospect, that talent is panning out for the Detroit Lions. They are currently sitting... What is it, 20-something?
29.
So they can stay there, or they can move up slightly to grab a ridiculous additional defensive end. And that defense would transform into somebody that I would never want to play against. Because if you take a look, right, let's say they even move up a couple to they wouldn't move up to 25 with Green Bay. Let's say they go to 24, right? Or even 26. The majority of them are going to be there.
Yeah, definitely.
Like Jared Verse might be there.
There's going to be some guys day two.
Yeah. I mean, you have Darius Robinson. Lavatu Latu. He'll be there. unless Atlanta takes him.
I mean, that'd be great for you.
Well, yeah, but like, and Chop Robinson, like that's another. You know what I mean? Like, if you put one of those guys opposite Aiden Hutchinson,
man, that defense is gonna.
If I'm the QB, I'm just handing it off because I'm like, I ain't getting hit today.
Yeah, that defense is gonna be stupid.
So, and then you got Dan Campbell getting them fired up. Yeah, buddy. I mean, that's gonna be again.
That's I mean, and you got to also think about this. The real big factor in all of this happening: who's the head coach?
Yeah,
the guy who took a freaking 3-win team to like a year or two later to like the playoffs,
yeah, like deep,
like in divisional round playoffs.
it's ridiculous.
Past the wild card playoffs.
Yeah, it's really really crazy. But that's where I see them going. Like their wide receiver room, their offensive line, their running backs, their QB, like offense is still kind of set.
Yeah,
like they're good.
Oh yeah,
defense now. I think they have the right coaching staff in place. They got a lot of really great players. But if you add another killer like that, man, that is going to make them take them to a whole new level.
Yeah.
Let's talk about one fun one, and then we'll get into kind of some of additional picks that we think may happen. All the talk around Brandon Ayuk. So that's well known, right? People have been talking about that forever.
I was about to say, that's a good one, honestly. I didn't think about him. He could be the one that goes tonight.
Who's giving a first-rounder for him, though?
There will be some teams that I think will be desperate enough to go get him.
I don't know why. Like, if you've... So here's what I'm thinking. You could do something. Well, never mind. I'm not even going to bring it up because it could just be dumb. Super, super heavy wide receiver needing teams. They're all sitting at the front of the draft.
Yeah.
Right? If I'm the Chargers, I'm not giving you number 5 for Brandon Ayuk.
I was just about to say, I was just thought about that. Yeah.
Like, I'm just not. You know what I mean? Like, it's not happening.
Well, honestly, I've seen people make the argument that Brandon Ayuk's better than Deebo.
And maybe he is. But what did the Bears just give up for Keenan Allen?
Like a 4th?
Exactly. What are some other wide receivers that just got traded in the last 2 years that are better than Deebo and Brandon Ayuk?
Yeah.
And the only reason they're that good is because they're in the Shanahan scheme. They're athletes and they're very good wide receivers. But if you put him in a non-spread type of offense like Shanahan runs, do they do that well? I don't know.
Maybe he goes to Minnesota with one of those picks with the 23rd, maybe.
It could be. That's what I mean. It would have to be later.
Yeah.
Right? Could them and the Bengals do a swap at 18?
It's possible.
Me, myself, I'd keep T. Higgins.
That's
it's going to be Kansas City, isn't
that's,
it?
That's a very good argument to actually have. Is I just thought about like who's better between T. Higgins, Brandon Ayuk.
I like T. Higgins. Bigger body, great wingspan, has enough speed.
I don't know, man. They're pretty close.
I don't know. I would look at Kansas City to do something like that, but I don't think they're trading him to Kansas City right now with. It's how the Super Bowl went down and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
So I'll just real quick talk about this that I've noticed. I got a notification, and Sauce Gardner posted on Twitter. I don't know if you saw us yet.
I did not.
But he tweeted, he said, "Just got word that we're drafting a DB or D lineman at pick 10. Can't reveal my source at the moment."
He's such a liar.
I don't know, man. I could see DB's definitely possible. I think D lineman's also definitely possible.
Why would he? He's going to end up getting himself fired.
Maybe he wants to get traded. Maybe that's what he's doing.
Maybe he does.
Imagine he's the one to go tonight. Sauce Gardner gets traded somewhere.
Oh, that would be ridiculous, dude. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting, though.
Yeah.
Now we got to pay attention to the Jets tonight at 10. Maybe he's just doing that.
Just like,
he's like, "Our new uniforms are awful, So I'm going to get people talking on draft day.
Yeah. And then one other quick thing I want to talk about, and this is a very obvious thing that's been brought up before, is the 2021 QB class. That in the first round, the four out of the five picks have all been traded.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Say, Trevor Lawrence, picked number one overall by the Jags, is the only one out of the first round of quarterbacks that's still with his current team.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever seen that before.
No. Number two, Zach Wilson, originally drafted by the Jets, got traded just the other day to Denver. Number three, Trey Lance, originally drafted by the 49ers, got traded to Dallas a year or two back. Pick 11, Chicago Bears, taking Justin Fields just last month, I think is what it was. Got traded to Pittsburgh. And then pick 15 by the New England Patriots, Macklemore Jones, got traded to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then the rest of the QBs in the draft for Kyle Trask, Kellen Mond, Davis Mills, and Sam Ellinger.
Yeah. It was not a good class.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I don't know. There's a lot of hype and talk around this year's draft, which is great for the NFL.
Yeah.
And it's great for these prospects.
Definitely.
But if I'm a prospect like Michael Penix Jr., and I see the majority of the offseason I'm going to be slated to be a second-round pick, and now all of a sudden you're hearing you're going to be in the top 10, possibly. What if you really don't go till 30 or 40-something? Like, are you disappointed? I mean, I'm sure you are.
I was about to say, if the Bo Callahan experiment happens, I think you start mentally saying to yourself, like, you're having a voices battle inside your head. Like, you get brought up to yourself. You say, did I not do good enough?
Yeah.
Because you're getting told that, oh, I'm going before 13.
Yeah.
Like, I'm expected to go before 13. Then I end up, it's already the second round. And you're thinking, why am I still here?
Yep.
Like, I was essentially told by people that I'm going in the top 15. And now the second round is starting in, like, 5 minutes. Yep. So, did I not do good enough? Why am I still here? What the freak is happening?
Mm-hmm.
It's all just running through your head at that moment.
Yep. Yeah, I think it's it could definitely play with your mind, play with your emotions. The more you and I talked about this, and this was before the Kirk Cousins to Atlanta thing, where Penix was tied to Atlanta quite a bit. Like, if he is there in the second round, I think Atlanta should take him. But the more I watch the kid, the more I listen to the kid, like, the higher and higher I get on him. Like, I think he's a solid pick and somebody that honestly could probably play right away. Like, he has been through so much. And then you saw the success he had at Washington.
I was about to say, and he was still the baller at Washington.
Like, but to be able to come back from what he came back from, like, injury-wise and all that kind of stuff, there's something else to say about that. Like, to come back and be that guy, right? Like, I think he's proved he could do that, where a lot of these guys have not.
No.
Have not at all. I'm trying to find out. There was a quote from him the other day that I read it, and literally, like, I was pumped up for the dude.
Yeah.
If I could, I'll keep searching while we're talking here, but if I could find it, I'll read it, because it was phenomenal.
As it just popped into my mind, I'm not trying to get fully sidetracked here in this episode, but just one really good memory that happened a few years back during the NFL draft, at CeeDee Lamb moment. No one will ever forget it.
Grabbing the phone.
Yep.
It was funny, as soon as you said about that rumor or whatever being on Twitter from Sauce Gardner.
Yeah.
I opened up Twitter real quick, and the first thing it was a picture of Russell Wilson with his ex.
Oh.
Where she looks like she's gonna eat his head.
That's it.
Like,
it's another great draft moment.
Every draft day meme, man, is, oh, it's hilarious.
Yep.
That was the first thing that came up.
Spats, I've the reason I thought about it is because I I saw the clip the other day, and I just thought it was absolutely hilarious. His girlfriend grabs his phone, immediately turns, snatches it right back. Says, "Did you know I'm on the phone?" Stop doing that. I remember seeing all kinds of things, like what you think was happening on the phone and whatnot. I think the big one I've seen was that like a coach was calling him on his other phone, and he's just like,
"Yep,
give me it."
Yep. It is what it is. Who cares?
It's just funny.
I mean, you know how I can't even imagine the stress level of these young dudes going through something like tonight.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I know like my normal day of stress with work and all that kind of stuff, but man, this is like, this is something you've worked for probably 10, 15 years since you were a little kid.
That's since you're like in middle school.
Like,
starting junior high football.
You finally, you reach this pinnacle that there literally is nowhere higher to go.
Like it's now or never.
Yes. It's just crazy. I don't know.
That's what I mean. Like, it's just essentially saying what we said, but it's like you've started since a 7th, 8th grade year, whatever it is, in junior high football, and now 10, 15 years later, you're at this point where it's like, I have a legitimate chance to play and go to the NFL right now.
Yep. And honestly, a lot of them, depending on how their parents were and that kind of stuff, they might have been forced in peewees, man.
Oh, yeah. That's like, what I mean. You could have started whenever.
Like, crazy.
Before you even hit, like, double digits or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, age-wise.
So here's this stuff from Michael Penix Jr. It was just the other day he had talked about it. He ended up writing a letter to all NFL general managers, and they got a hold of it and published it. And there was just a piece of it that says, "Truth is, I'd be more worried if I had never been injured. We don't all come back the same, and we've seen that play out, right? Somebody tears an ACL and Achilles,
right?
They're not the same guy anymore,
right?"
He's like, "I can't speak for those that have never gone through anything, but I can speak on me. I've seen how deep my foundation is. I know the storms I'm prepared to weather. For most people, that'd be the end of their story. But there's more to my story, and I own every page of it."
Dang.
So to come back, I mean, this is multiple torn ACLs on the same knee.
Yeah. Which in itself is just crazy to think.
Yeah.
It's like,
and now he's put almost 2,000 plays on tape since his last injury.
That's you think you tear it, you repair it, you're like, "Oh, I'm good to go." Yeah, tears again. Okay, that's weird. Repairs it, tears it again.
Yeah.
Like,
so coming back and coming back and coming back. I mean, there are very, very small amount of guys that have done something like that.
And still play.
Yeah.
At a great level. We're sticking with this moment here, but just thinking about the really big question is like, what if injuries never happened to a football player, and how great that football player could have been if that never have happened?
So you got another guy, right? And I don't know everybody's injury history, you know, and if they come back from stuff, that's great. But Michael Penix Jr., man, that is the epitome of mental toughness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To mentally stick with yourself and push yourself and drive yourself forward is just ridiculous. Now, I don't know Caleb Williams' injury history, but let's say he never had a major injury. I don't know if he did. He tears an ACL year one. Does he ever come back the same guy? Is he mentally tough like that?
That's
no clue.
That's the stuff in football that you can't teach.
Yeah.
That's the stuff you got to
do that yourself. That is what's within yourself, exactly.
Yeah.
So.
And that's the hardest battle in football then. Yeah. It's coming back from an injury.
Yeah. So when I read that, I'm like, yeah, I like this guy. Like, my story is not done and I own every page of it. I'm like, that's.
Yeah, put that on t-shirts.
That's sweet, dude. That is sweet. He should be wearing that tonight. Yeah, I don't know. It's I'm super excited about tonight. It's one of the years of the NFL draft where I'm not kind of going crazy thinking about who Atlanta's going to pick, because there's about 10 different guys and they're all going to be there.
Guarantee they don't pick one of them.
That I'd be totally fine with. So I'm just going to enjoy it, though. Even if they trade back. I would trade back, honestly.
Nah, but this is the one. This is the 1 year where I'm stressing about what we're doing.
I know.
I'm in your seat from previous years.
Yep.
Just with a different team.
Yep.
Remember last year about worrying, you know, we gotta get Zay Flowers, gotta get Zay Flowers. We got Quentin Johnson, and I was like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird picks, man. But I don't know. Now that our QB situation's kind of taken care of, I'm like, yeah, I'm good. And I know we got every other skill guy on offense. They're solid. Get another receiver, it doesn't hurt. But they did go out and, like, Atlanta did go out and get, Rondale Moore?
Yeah.
Darnell Mooney. Like, they did stack up on wide receivers pretty good.
Yeah.
But, again, I still think, you know, if something happens to Drake, something happens to Pitts, you need somebody there. You need somebody there. I still, again, and I don't remember if I said this on the last episode or not. I'm pretty sure I've said it to you, though. Yes, I'm a homer when it comes to the Georgia Bulldogs, but, dude, I'd take Brock Bowers.
Well, I don't even know if that homer situation comes in. It's just
he's ridiculous.
Plain and simple, he's just an absolutely phenomenal player.
And Pitts is so dynamic. And I know for most people are like, oh, he's garbage. He hasn't done anything. Okay, but he's with Desmond Ritter and Arthur Smith. So
think about who's
the QB. I'm putting that in the past, and now he's got Kirk Cousins and a whole new coaching staff and a whole new mentality going forward. This is going to open that kid up. Like,
so you got Kirk Cousins, who is a solidified superstar.
Yeah. And like, I think you throw Drake, you throw Pitts, and then maybe you have Bowers in there. It's like, that just opens up so many possibilities in the run game, the passing game. Like, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So, again, that is Brock Bowers, I don't think, was on anybody's mock for Atlanta. Dude, if they took him, I'd be so stoked.
Honestly, he's like if we don't take a receiver, we don't take Joe Alder, some sort of offensive line, he'd be my next guy.
Yeah.
For the longest time, I was saying, like, oh, Brock Bowers going to the Chargers for the longest time.
Yeah.
And then Joe Alt, Malik Nabers started popping up.
Yep. I don't think you can go wrong with any of those guys, honestly.
That's the good thing about us, though, is that we have pick five. So, honestly, it would be very difficult, knock on wood here, but it would be very difficult to mess this pick up with just the amount of guys who are on the board and the fact that we pick so early.
Very true.
That it's somebody's going to be there.
And you know the top three are QBs.
Yeah.
So there's literally only one other pick in front of you that could take one of those guys.
And we still have people.
And you still have the rest.
Yeah. That's what I mean. So it's like there is, again, knock on wood with this, but there is no wrong pick here at number five.
No.
Because you have very possible superstars with falling right into your lap.
Yeah. That's how I feel with Atlanta at eight. Like, it's a couple picks deeper, but
you can't go wrong with the pick.
There's only going to be five picks in front of you that may not be QBs.
That's what I mean, yeah.
So you're pretty good there.
First three are QBs, Cardinals. They're probably going O line or receiver. Chargers, O line or receiver.
Giants.
Giants.
Maybe QB.
QB or receiver.
Yep.
Titans, receiver or O line. And then Falcons.
Yeah. And if the Vikings trade into those or Denver trades into those, it's QB.
Yeah.
So it's more QBs. Like, it's a perfect area to be in.
We're sitting great this year, man. Good thing our team sucked last year.
I know, right? I was so disappointed.
I'm so happy now. My gosh.
It does seem like a really good draft class, and I hope it's not just the perception of how everybody's getting talked about nowadays. Like, I watch the Combine every year, and they're getting crazy every year.
Yeah.
These athletes, the way they show up and the way they go through drills, and then you start looking at tape, and you watch the film on these guys, and it's just so many standout options. I'm excited. We have 7 hours until the draft begins, until the Bears are on the clock.
I'm freaking ready. Just skip 7 hours to start at one.
I'm not. We got an O-line workout yet.
Oh, that's true.
That I need to get through. I got to get around for those guys. Yeah, be back in time for the draft, though. But I'm excited. I cannot wait for the NFL draft tonight. I do. I hope there's crazy trades. I hope there are players that go places. I think that just makes it extremely exciting to watch because you have no idea.
Whenever your team is not involved in a trade and the trade is great, it's so much fun to watch.
It is, because then you just see the two other fan bases go crazy.
That's what I mean. The Twitter's just an absolute ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I mean. And then if you are one of those teams that's like that's getting like the better side of it, then it's even better.
It is.
Because then you're like, holy crap, we just got this guy, and we didn't have to give up that much for him.
It is. Like, the offseason here, I think, was so interesting, where you have, like, Saquon going to the Eagles, and you're like, why are all these superstars going to their division rivals? There's a couple more of them, too. I can't remember off the top of my head. But
yeah,
I think there was so much of that this year.
Oh, definitely.
Where guys were going to division rivals. Makes zero sense, because that would never happen in the past.
But now it makes it so much more interesting whenever you're going to get to watch it.
It does. It really, really does.
Because then you're like, well, this guy's going to get to play his original team twice a year.
I know, right? And that would have to be fun.
Oh, it'd have to be so much fun. Because you're like, I know I'm winning at least one of these.
Yeah, but you just want to go out and ball out on those games. Like, you know, like, you have those circled on your calendar.
Yeah.
And you're aiming for it.
Those are ones that you're looking forward to the most.
Yeah, and your teammates know it too.
Oh, yeah.
And that just helps drive each other, honestly.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, I think it'll be a great draft.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, we'll get a little bit of downtime here after the draft. And then OTAs and that kind of stuff will start up. And then, dude, before you know it, we'll be talking preseason. Honestly, you know how it's going to fly. Because we're going to start getting busier here, too, with practices.
With our football stuff.
Exactly, with practices and workouts and that kind of stuff, getting ready, getting everybody in shape again. So it'll be busy time, if you will, but it'll be a blast. And dude, it starts tonight.
That's what I mean, man. We got today, got tomorrow, and Saturday. Yeah. Saturday, I pay attention to like one round, and then I'm like, all right, whatever.
So you're usually toast. I just watch it.
Yeah, I was about to say first four rounds I pay attention to.
Yeah.
First three are the main ones that I do. That's what I have on our board set up over
six,
here.
Six and seven usually get a little bleh.
That's what I mean, because it's like...
First five for me, I'm good.
Well, because after the first five, you don't even know anybody.
It's true.
Because at first five, you're like...
Unless somebody really drops.
Yeah, I know.
You know, because of injuries or whatever it may be, but... Yeah. What do you got set up on our board right now? Is that four rounds?
First three.
First three rounds.
I usually did four, but then I was just
like... Yeah, because we usually just do Thursday and Friday nights.
Yeah.
Good deal.
That's what I mean. So I changed it to just the first three this year.
Yeah.
So it used to be a tradition for me and you is what we do is I just set up a draft board and our whiteboard over there.
Yep.
And just the first four rounds. But I'm like, yeah, I'll just go three this year. Just make it fun.
You're going to have a lot more erasing tonight, I think.
When we talk about
trades and...
Yeah.
All that kind of fun stuff, but... Sweet.
It'll be a great time.
It is, man. I'm pumped. Hopefully everybody can tune into the draft tonight starting at 8 o'clock.
Eastern time.
Yeah, it's gonna be a great good night.
Yeah, man.
It really is. Anything else you want to talk about? I think we pretty much nailed it.
Everybody have a great draft night tonight. Eat wings, do whatever.
Do something. Watch draft day beforehand.
Jump through a table.
Oh, buddy.
Run through a door.
Through a door.
Something, man. Headbutt a wall. Just go nuts.
Oh, that's hilarious. Awesome. Well, again, hopefully everybody has a great draft night. We'll, the next couple of days, we'll do a review as well, covering the draft probably Sunday, Monday-ish. We'll probably get that out. Appreciate everybody listening, though. Thank you again. Again, glad to be back here on All Blitz Podcast.
Yeah.
Super excited just to talk ball again and talk about what's going on. So appreciate all you listeners out there. Again, enjoy draft night. Stay safe. Stay healthy. And from us here at AOB Podcast, peace out. Mm-hmm.